brain, you're in the nerd's domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. I'm Matt, and I'm here with John.
Hello.
Scott.
Hello.
Justin.
Hello.
And Shirley.
Hello.
And this week we're going to talk about adaptations, the good, the bad, and the terrible. That's colon there. Adaptations, yep. Colon.
Moving on.
So, let's start with the good ones.
How many are we allowed to do?
Just one. Let's just focus on one good one that we really enjoy.
Right.
So I will start. No, I'll go ahead, Scott. You go ahead and start. Let's hear yours.
Okay. The good, the in my opinion, one of the best adaptations was Gone with the Wind. I thought it was a great adaptation from the book. I thought it was really, really... I think it really captured the flavor that she was trying to make when she wrote the book. The book is, like, yay thick. It's a brick.
Yeah.
But... it captures the flavor of all of the elements, the aspects, the characters. It shows the transition of the timeline well. It stays pretty darn truthful to the book as a whole. And one of the things that I think that this illustrates, and I'm very glad that you shared it with me, is that in order to do an adaptation well, I think you need to stay as truthful to the work as you can. And most people nowadays are like, well, the movie's got to be an hour and a half, so we got to cut out, you know, your favorite characters, or we've got to cut out your favorite plots, or we've got to cut out whatever that thing you loved was, or we're going to crunch 60 years of time down into the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 3.5 hours long with a built-in intermission in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do a really good adaptation, I think that's what you need to shoot for. And make a 3.5 hour long movie
as the source requires it.
I would say as long as that's.
You're not going to take three little Abner strips and make that a 3.5 hour movie with an intermission.
No, you're not. But if you're going to take any serious work of fiction that has a genuine fan base that is of a caliber, you're right. Three little Abner strips, no. But if you take the entire work of Little Abner and you want to put that in a movie,
yeah.
Oh, okay, well, maybe it's going to be more than an hour 10 of Michael Bay explosions wait, there were no explosions in the thing. Well, but we wanted to catch audiences with a summer trailer, so we had to put those in there. Wait, seriously? You don't write extra parts because we thought that would be really, really good to see. We wanted to see, you know, an orc on a giant bat. What? That's not even in the thing. So, you know, you don't tend to see...
When I said, let's not talk about The Hobbit,
I haven't mentioned The Hobbit.
This is Gone with the Wind, with the giant bat
this
in New York.
Yeah, the giant bat in New York. You haven't seen that one? No. The scene with when she's at the hospital and they back out, it was a question of scope. And the reason that the adaptation was done so well is that the scope was amazing. They back out and they show the flag with all of the bodies of the injured... When Scarlett O'Hara is at the hospital and she has to flee because it's so overwhelming, they caught the scope of the book from pre-Civil War all the way through, you know, Tomorrow's Another Day and I Will Eat Again. That scope was captured. It was a 3.5 hour movie. It was big. It's a grind if it's not a good topic or if it's not a favorite of yours. But I thought it was magnificently done, and it is, in my opinion, it's my favorite movie of all time, and it is... one of the best adaptations I've ever seen done.
So you feel scope is the key?
That's a bit... That if you can't get the scope, you're going to fail.
Okay. Jesse?
Well, I am not a fan of adaptations, typically. But Watership Down is one of my favorite ones. If I hadn't watched the movie first, I probably wouldn't like it as much. They do cut some things. But Watership Down is a story about these rabbits on a journey...
Okay.
And when they get... it, just bad stuff happens to them constantly. The entire book's tone is... it's these fluffy things that everybody thinks of as kindness. And it's a dark and dreadful story. And it's a contrast. The movie is animated with a nice fluffy tone. And then it's a very dark, contrasting story.
Okay.
The things they cut is at the final battle with the other Warren. And they do a lot of infiltration in the book. They just have a massive battle in the movie. And they keep it bloody and... just absolutely violent, which is as it was in the book.
Okay. So what made that?
The tone.
The tone.
The tone is what's important to me.
So scope for Scott, tone for Jesse. Johnny, You got a good adaptation for us.
I'm going to follow Jesse and put it on the tone. Although scope is important, but A Road to Perdition is a graphic novel that was turned into a movie starring Tom Hanks and, oh shoot, now I can't remember. Yeah, Jude Law. I almost said River Phoenix. It's Jude Law and Tom Hanks. And it's about gangsters. Tom Hanks is an enforcer his son witnesses something, and the mob boss's son kills his wife and his other child while they're away, and so he's betrayed by the mob. He asks for revenge, and they won't let him. The mob boss won't let him kill his son, so he goes on a cross-regional stint robbing banks, but only taking money from the mob. And it's a great story, and done as a graphic novel first, but then very well adapted into the film.
Did you read the graphic novel?
I did.
Okay. So you feel like tone is the key?
It was with this one. Okay. That was what I picked as my good adaptation that I could remember.
What about you, Shirley?
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything? You sure? Because you had a couple of thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of adaptations, but I've never read any of the books.
That's okay. You can still talk about
it. As long as you like the way it is.
Yeah, but then I'm not really talking about the adaptation. Because I don't know the material.
Okay.
You have a good one?
I do. Sin City, the first one. It's not perfect by any means, but it grabbed a lot of the same concepts and themes. And did it with the same striking artistic similarities, which at first when I saw the trailers, I thought, oh, this is going to be terrible. It's going to be a black and white, and they're going to overdo. And they did overdo a lot of the color, but they did so in an effective way that still brought everything together. So the visual aspect from comic to movie was key. I think it was really well acted by a lot of different people. I mean, you had a huge cast in this thing because it was, what, four stories?
Yeah.
Three.
No, it was really good.
Three.
Okay. And even the stuff that they added on that wasn't in the graphic novel was still good.
Yeah. No, I walked out of that movie feeling like my head had been scoured from the inside with a scrub brush in a very good way.
So I think that the artistic theme there, especially from a comic book to a movie, is important. So we'll start again with Scott. What give me a bad adaptation that you really don't care for, but isn't just horrendous?
Oh, isn't horrendous?
Horrendous. It's just something bad.
Horrendous is the
Ender's,
third.
Ender's Game.
Okay. I've not seen that, nor have I read the book, so.
Harrison Ford was amazing.
Really?
I thought he was really good.
I heard opposite. But
I thought he was really good. Well, when you compare him to the character written in the book,
yeah.
I think his portrayal of Graf was really good. Graf was not the type of character that a lot of people really latched onto and enjoyed, but I thought his portrayal of him, I came away from feeling the movie portrayal that Harrison Ford did gave me the same feeling as Graf did when I read it.
There you go.
So that's when I went,
that's Triumph, then.
Yes, no, then it was amazing. I mean, it was like, wow, you nailed it on the head. I didn't like it. Yeah. You know? And and that was the key, was I like Harrison Ford, and I like the stuff that he does, and he makes me feel really good when I come out of a movie. Well, when I come out of this movie, I'm like, I don't feel so good about Harrison Ford. That's a triumph, like you said. I mean, he did a really good job of it. They cut out a bunch of the story. They lost some of the scope. It was more about space gun pew pew battle than the over. They put in a little bit of the game early in, but then they it kind of got lost in between the space battle and the reveal and the, oh, you know what we're pushing it for? They skipped huge chunks of the, well, you're in and you're deteriorating, and then the thing goes away, and then, oh, now you're over in the super secret base. Did we tell you about any of that? Nah, it doesn't matter.
So this was something you wouldn't mind watching again?
I'd probably watch it again. It wouldn't be my first choice.
But it's not horrible.
If we were like, hey, we're watching, you know, you're over here, let's watch this movie.
Yeah, it would be okay, and then I would immediately turn around and go,
here's why.
If you thought that was all right, read the book. Yeah. You will love the book. I read the first 9 Ender's Games back to back to back to back to back to back to back.
Okay.
See, I still need to get into that. I've heard nothing but good things about it.
The Shadow series and the stuff about Bane. There wasn't nearly enough about Bane. There wasn't. I mean, it was just that was riveting.
I would say that would be something that could get cut, but
right. And that's what they said.
Yeah.
And then I think the adaptation lost because of that. Jesse?
Well, Rambo First Blood.
Okay.
I didn't even know it was based on a novel.
Neither did I.
It's one of them that I can watch it again because I watched the movie first. The novel was absolutely amazing. Rambo is the villain of the story. The sheriff's the good guy, 110%. He's the good guy. Rambo's the bad guy in the book.
Yeah.
In the book. He's constantly playing in his head, like, I should stop this. I need to stop. I need to quit doing this. But he keeps going because he can't. And it's just...
You see that in the film, though, too.
No, Rambo's a good guy.
Yeah, you see the struggle, but
Rambo's struggling against a corrupt sheriff. This sheriff did push him out of the city the first time, but that is all he did. Was try to just move him along once.
Mm-hmm.
And Rambo just...
No,
Rambos.
Rambos. Okay. John.
I have one for this
one. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I love Anne Rice, and I love her Interview with a Vampire series. And there are 2 film adaptations for 3 books.
Which I think...
Did they cut a little out?
I think already tells you that that's bad. Yeah.
So, Interview with a Vampire, Tale of the Body Thief, and Queen of the Damned are some of the most image-filled books that I've ever read. They're really good. The backstory on all the characters is amazing. And you see these people and the characters in your head. Tom Cruise as Lestat, which is the main character of the books, just... doesn't like Stuart Townsend was a better Lestat than Tom Cruise was in Interview with a Vampire, and Stuart Townsend was in the movie Queen of the Damned. They left out like the middle book, most of Tale of the Body Thief, where you know they actually go and there's a body possession and there's a lot of in-depth story, backstory, where you cut to Queen of the Damned and the movie, and you're getting, like, all of this, you're not getting all of the story that would help some of it make sense to the point that they got to from Interview with a Vampire. So it was bad.
Yeah, I was absolutely shocked when they skipped straight to Queen of the Damned. As the movie lineup, I was like, there's a whole other book here. I couldn't finish Queen of the Damned.
Oh, really?
And the movie.
The movie.
The books I liked. And
the thing is, when I was reading the books, and then I was like, oh my gosh, they're coming out on film. And I kept reading the reviews and watching the trailers and things like that. And they're like, oh, they squished 2 books into 1 film. Yeah. No, they just left Tale of the Body Thief out. I mean, except for David, they left it out.
But you like these movies generally.
Yeah, I mean, I have both of them in my collection. I like them for what they are. I don't like them for the book.
It could have just been more.
Yes, definitely.
What about you, John?
I'm going to go with the Harry Potter movies after number 1. So,
I would include number 1.
Yeah, but I would too.
Because I think there are marks in number 1 that would have set up the rest, that you left those out.
Yeah.
And that's why.
There are problems with number 1.
Let me just step all over here.
Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah.
There are problems with number 1, but number 1 did the best job of capturing the awe and wonder that Harry felt in discovering who he really was. And then, like, what was the second book called?
Prisoner? No.
No.
Chamber of
Secrets. Chamber of Secrets was by far the worst overall crime because they just like hammer through that.
I don't know. 7 and 8 are movies. 7 and 8 are really bad.
7 and 8 have the worst single scene in my opinion, or 2 each. There's the death of Dobby and the final scene where Harry ruins Neville's moment. but I won't get into those.
Again, we've already talked about that one. Go back to episode 3.
Yeah. At that point, I hadn't seen the movies, so I don't talk about the movies. But anyway, they just hammered through that story. The Triwizards Tournament, there's supposed to be a story where Ron gets mad at Harry for publicizing himself, but you never see the parts where Harry is framed for publicizing himself.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Ron is mad. Like, it's
yeah.
Here's a reporter. She's interviewing Harry. She's interviewing everybody. And Harry makes the front page, and Ron is mad about that. Then they're friends again, just without any explanation yeah. whatsoever.
Well, the complete removal of Nearly Headless Nick. I mean, that was...
Yeah.
I mean, that was bad, but he doesn't play...
There's a whole story arc with him, though. Well, the whole thing. I mean,
it's just cut out.
And yeah. I'm with Jesse on this. If you look at the 7th and 8th movies, which is just the 7th book, they cut out swaths of...
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, things that would have made it way better. They were just like, and now they're camping.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. But
yeah.
No, but there are storylines that lead up to that that make the 7th book devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Step by step, so that when certain things happened in the last battle, I teared up reading it. And that
yeah.
wasn't even like at that last bit where you're going to see the fight and all the stuff that happens with Harry. People die, and I was like, oh my God, like he's dead.
Yeah, the only one they got right was the death of Fred or George, who's, I'm forgetting which one.
Even
died.
Then, I still feel like that one's weak. That one's the closest to being, right?
Yeah.
Right. See, and the argument that can be made for the entire series that I've had conversations at length with a lot of people with is, who is the main character of the Harry Potter series?
Go back to episode 3 and listen.
Well,
we'll tell you.
Well, and there's an argument that it's Snape.
That's also a fair argument.
Yeah.
Okay. And with the things that they left out, when I was reading the 7th book of Harry Potter, I was just, and I was invested, and I was thinking, and it was this great buildup. When I got 2/3 of the way through and she told us what happened with Snape back and the choices that he made, it was like, oh my God, that was just, holy cow. And from there it was like, oh, and then there's a battle and he's going to meet Voldemort and goes, Expelliarmus, and everything will be great. It'll all work out and he'll make the same choice he always does. Okay, great. Like, I found the answer to my story that I was reading. Now the rest is like denouement. Oh, yeah, they have a fight, and then there's some people that die, and there's the whole thing. Great. But if you cut those things out of the movie, then it's not even a question of, If Snape is the main character, all of that is lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
But again, I've heard that argument, and I don't think there is a main character of the Harry Potter novels. It's really is an anthology piece. Yeah, Harry is the title character, but
the definition of a main character is who has to make moral choices that are going to make an actual impact.
So then. Harry's dead, quote-unquote dead, in Hagrid's arms.
Right.
Voldemort has won. Everyone, including Professor McGonagall, is giving up as Voldemort makes his speech. Neville, the boy who can't do anything, strides forward and kills the last Horcrux that isn't Harry and Voldemort themselves. But, like, he's going to die. But he steps forward and tries to stop the nuclear bomb from going off. And you know, everybody else has given up. So you go, like, at that moment, you go back and you look, Neville has been developing into this character.
Correct.
So again,
but even with the pieces that you slice out of the movie, even that is diminished.
It is. Well, in the movie, Harry wakes up and Neville doesn't get to do it.
Right. It's not included.
It's 10 more minutes before Neville kills the snake.
Right.
And that's ridiculous.
Right.
But
bad adaptation.
Yes.
My bad adaptation is Blade. Because I enjoy the movie. It's a good movie. It's not, in fact, anything to do with the comic book. Not a single Blade, the first one.
There's a comic book?
Blade is a Spider-Man character.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Blade is a vampire hunter. He comes into the story looking for Morbius, the living vampire.
Yep.
Who's
a friend of Spider-Man. A villain, then friend. I mean,
they go back and forth.
But there's all of this story and intricacies that make sense to a tertiary character. That's what Blade is. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, he belongs in the same place that, like, Swamp Thing does, as far as importance. Rhino. I mean, it's just, he's out there, but they made a whole storyline around him. I enjoyed all three movies. Honestly, the third one's kind of cheesy, pretty cheesy, but it's fun. Right. The second one's kind of, a little cheesy, but fun. First one, dark, gritty, and fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good movie.
Yeah. I mean, there are some points in the first one I'm like, oh, come on, really? Like, but okay, but it's enjoyable.
But I never read the Blade comic. I mean, I never got into
that. Well, and he did eventually have his own comic where he hunted vampires. Dracula is a thing in the Marvel Universe. It's actually important.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole long thing. None of that touches anything to do. Frost as a character in the comics doesn't even correlate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He created Blade.
Well, right, I'm saying...
Beyond that,
there, like, the mannerisms and how important he is, none of that...
Well,
correlates. And again, I'm with you, but still.
I blame that on the fact that comic book movies weren't a thing yet.
Which,
I mean,
surprisingly, that's one of the best, as far as I'm concerned, best received comic book movies.
Oh, sure,
even though it is not, in fact, anything like the comic
book.
Right.
But I mean, without Blade, we wouldn't be where we are today with Avengers.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah,
I agree.
But Blade, I really think, is a bad adaptation. So let's go with your horrible one, Scott. Not Hobbit. Go.
Starship Troopers.
Dang it, you took mine.
I am so glad I watched that movie before I read the book.
Yeah. Oh, you have no idea. There's like a 30-second, we mention one sentence from the book while they're in the classroom.
Yeah.
I watched the movie.
Oh, my.
And that made me want to read the book. And I got done with the book and I went, this would have been better.
Then it just had the father show up.
I think the problem with that movie is that
you're taking my bag.
It's gonna flip the table.
The director, you stole mine.
You picked a really good bad movie, adaptation.
The director,
they are the same in name only.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a
kind of like The Hobbit.
There are a couple of overarching themes that are very similar, but it's the director's fault because the director.
I'm not Paul Voorhees.
I'm not. He writes, he directs political satire. That's his job. Look at RoboCop.
Well, but then why wasn't Starship Troopers a little bit, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Political. At all.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
I think
very superficially.
Go ahead.
I disagree. I'm with you on that it's a bad adaptation, but I think he was trying to do it in a different way. Like, He only used the title of the movie to get you in, but then told his own story.
Mind you, great movie.
Sure.
I loved the movie. I thought it was wonderful. I've watched it repeatedly. I'd watch it again.
Cheesy and fun.
They
wasted a title, though. They could have called
A title. There it is. If you read...
Have you seen the second, third, or fourth movie?
I saw part of the third, and I haven't been able to find the second. I need to... But yes, that could be a franchise in and of itself. I understand that. But it's not the book.
Yeah.
Okay? When they got on the... When we were like, yes, I've been transferred to the Ticonderoga. I was like, yay, we're finally going to get to... We don't even get to see it. I hate you! Oh, and it was just... It was like...
Well, they left out the psychic dog... combo teams.
Yeah.
And what that meant for their whole mode of combat. Like, that was a huge
The idea, we're going to put you in mechanized armor.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Mechanized armor. Was that in Starship Troopers? Well, you're going to die. You ready, apes? Run out the door. Where's the mechanized armor?
He did wear it once in that scene where he's riding on the firebug's backside, and despite the firebug turning 90 degrees... He's still right on top of it. Clearly, he was wearing like a mechanized boot.
No, that's because he plays
a magnetic boot or bug magnetic boot.
Because he plays future sport football.
Right, exactly.
Dropships.
Right. There shouldn't even be dropships. You saw the dropships and the people pouring out of the dropships. They were all fired from space.
They were fired from low orbit.
Whatever. Space enough. Technically, it's all space. Okay? But they were fired from way the hell up there, and they never landed a ship on the planet, and people ran out of it. That didn't happen.
Yeah, that one bothered me, too. Like, there's so much, like, tactics that they go through in the book,
yeah,
and they talk about how terrifying it all is.
You wasted a huge opportunity, because when he's fired from low orbit, whatever, when he's in the pod on the way to hit on each of his missions, there's this inner monologue of, well, you know... there's all these things I'm thinking about, and I know I could die to the bugs when I hit this planet, but you know up, what? These are important.
It builds up to that last, what, three sentences of yes. the book, and you're just like,
mind blown!
And you're like, where's the rest? And there's nothing. No. That yeah. You flip the page, and it's blank.
Maybe they yeah. just
did you guys watch the movie effects? First or read the book
no,
first?
No, read the book.
Okay, so spoiler alert, because I'm going to spoil this prematurely. So, Rico, his father is dead in the movie.
You know what? When you talk about this movie, the way that you guys talk about this movie, every single time, the only thing I remember is people torturing things. So I don't know.
So, throughout the whole movie, Rico is going about doing this.
I don't know who Rico is.
The main character.
Okay.
Casper Van Dien.
Sure.
Moving on.
he's going through all this because the bugs destroyed his home.
Okay.
And killed his family.
Right.
Okay.
They launched a bug. They launched a boulder.
Which
or a
is
asteroid
sort of what you're left to believe a little bit in the book.
What does right. that have to do with special effects?
Nothing. That's my point. It had nothing to do with special effects. Why this movie is no good? You get to the last three sentences of the book. And
no, I'm saying they didn't launch people out of the ships because Voorhees
no.
didn't have the special effects to be able to create
oh,
that
he could've.
Well.
I disagree with that completely.
Yeah.
All you have to do is show the pod.
I'm saying, was that a possibility?
No. The spaceships
okay.
look cool.
We could do this in the backyard. You put the pod already on the ground and just start your scene there and have them kick the door out.
No.
Worst case scenario. Worst case. That's what I'm saying. Worst
no,
case scenario. That
no. Worst case scenario is a third of the movie should have been you show the ships from space and they each go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you see the inside of a pod. Like a metal tube
right.
where he's sitting there with his face lit and it's shaking
so
and he's going, well, you know, I got to think about this. And you voice over it and you go, you know,
so
I need this. And they destroyed my home and they killed my family and I need to do all these things.
So
and you do that in the pod.
Yeah.
And then you don't even have to show the pod hitting.
Yeah.
You could just show a field of pods and then you kick out the door and go, let's
well,
do
so,
this.
So the last bit that he's shaking to Earth and he's going through that monologue again.
How do they get back to the ship?
They're picked up after everything on the planet is dead.
You said no ships ever landed.
No drop ships ever landed.
Oh, okay.
So he's going through the inner monologue again, and he says something, and he's like, you know, he's stressing out, and something. Thanks, Dad. His dad is in the unit with him.
Yeah, and he hears
but
his
book,
and he goes,
dead.
"Thanks, Dad."
But in the book, he's dead.
No.
Not
in the movie. He's supposed to be dead.
And you think
time.
He is in the book, too.
And you
because
think he
thinks
book.
His dad's dead.
Right.
And that's literally the last three sentences of the movie is, you know, I'm kind of freaking cool. out. And his dad's like, you know what? You hear this voice. Just calm down. Remember your training. Everything's going to be fine. And he's like, thanks, Dad. Like,
and you're like, mind flip.
Yeah. And then you literally flip the page. And you're like, where's the rest of the story?
Yeah.
I love that movie, but it's not the book.
When
at
you
all.
Watched the movie, were you creeped out when his friend was also his love interest? Because I was creeped out when I was reading the book, and it was a guy instead of.
Why?
Yes, because in the book it's a guy.
Yeah.
And no, because she was hot.
They changed the sex of his love interest.
Best friend.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And
love
then threw him in bed.
No triangle. The triangle was done for the movie.
Right. And you never see the degradation of the main character.
No, yeah.
You never see him get stressed. You never see him go through the rigors of war for this political ideal and go, this is grinding on me and making me, it's tearing me apart. It's making me a worse human being. No, at the end of the movie, he's like, well, he's been promoted to the leader. You ready up, apes? You ready to die? It's today the day. It's a good day to die. Let's go. Going out the door. And then he's just fine.
Have either of you guys watched the animated series?
Oh,
it is
dear Lord.
Horrendously animated, but it follows the book a lot better. They use the pods. They fight in armor. There's the other aliens. All right. That they were
so Matt, with. What's yours?
Jesse. I have another one.
Mine is I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Okay.
It is a book. It's a great
book.
It
was really
it's a book
good.
Called...
I am legend.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's the movie with Charlton Heston. It's called something else.
Yes.
Sorry.
Right.
That's
yeah.
my mistake.
This is more of an adaptation of Omega Man than it was I Am Legend. And Omega
Good
Man
one.
Was an attempted version of I Am Legend and it just got it all wrong. The whole, they ruin the story of I Am Legend. The whole premise, the whole idea of what the book is.
Yeah.
I'm going to completely spoil the book.
Should we?
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
You should still read it anyway. But the whole thing is there's these vampires that act a lot like zombies that are attacking the last guy living. Yeah. So he goes out during the day. He kills them while he can. Towards the end of the book, he gets captured by him. He gets put on trial. The whole point of it is when the world is full of vampires, the one guy who's killing him in the morning is the monster. He is the legend. He's the vampire.
Right, the vampire world is all fearful of this guy because he barricades himself and they can't get to him. But every day, he comes out to destroy their society.
While they're sleeping.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What? The movie?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I didn't get it from the movie. I never read the book.
So the movie is based on this infection. Uh-huh. So it's... Which is vampirism.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing of the girl and her son and them going to
there is a girl, but it's nothing like that. And the dog is just tossed into the book just to tear your heart out for like a half a page. But
yeah.
Because
this guy barricades himself in the house and night after night.
To read the book now.
It is an awesome amazing. Book. Yes.
It sounds like, what was that movie we watched with Timothy Hutton? Daywalkers?
Yeah.
Nightwalkers?
And you've read it, right?
Uh-huh.
You agree that they were obviously a vampire analogy.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked to people who've read the book. Those weren't vampires. He's got garlic around his house. He's making steaks. He talks about religious icons. Turning away. You have to use Star David to turn the Jewish ones. You have to use a cross to turn the because it ties into their humanity.
To their faith. Yeah. Huh.
So they just took this book and turned it into a zombie flick.
Yep.
Yeah.
The infectious disease got loose, and then this guy's got to kill them all.
There's a black and white movie with
Charlton Heston.
No,
it was the other one.
Yeah.
It's not called I Am Legend, but it's
that's going
to bother me. No.
Anyway.
But it's a real close adaptation to what the book is.
See, and imagine like this.
But, yeah.
Imagine the human race found there was a single vampire.
Mm-hmm.
But hold himself up that they couldn't get him and they couldn't get him. But every day, every night he came out to feed and mm-hmm. killed people and did all kinds of things.
While they were at their weakest.
And eventually they grab him and put him on trial.
Mm-hmm.
Same story, flip it.
Yeah.
The last human is the monster. Because he keeps killing everyone in this society.
Because, people are... change, they're no longer human. But
the thing is, how do all those vampires survive? There's no blood.
They don't
need blood.
Drink blood. Like I said, he wrote the first zombie story without calling them zombies. He called them vampires.
Right.
So, Shirley, do you have...
I've been running through my mind. I can't think of anything horrible.
The soup. John?
The Da Vinci Code was a horrible movie.
It was a great
based
book.
On a good book.
Is the book good? Because I've book is fantastic. I haven't read it because the movie was
the book, book is good. Don't judge that book by that movie.
Yeah.
May I give you the book just in a quick thing? By it's a little slow through chapter 90, but by chapter 120, you are hooked and it flies and it's worth it for the other eight chapters.
There is a lot of slow build up.
Guys. Don't let those numbers scare you. Some of the chapters are literally a page.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh no, it's a good read. It's way worth it.
It is a slow build. But once you get to that point where you climb that freaking roller coaster all the way to the top and it takes forever, and then you crash that hill, the rest of it is just what just happened here.
Yeah.
Just woo all the way through.
And in the movie, the reveal of who the bad guy is happens 5 minutes after they introduce the bad guy as a good guy, but then the main character is a moron and doesn't pick it up for the next 20 minutes. The clues are... ham-fisted, like, boom, here's the answer, folks. Are you watching? Okay, you've seen it? All right, now we'll move on with the story.
Ah.
And it's just, there's no connectivity between scenes.
Because I've always wanted to go watch it, because I loved the book.
One of the few movies I've ever fallen asleep in.
Really?
My problem, my problem may have been, I literally finished the book, walked out to my living room, and was like buzzing. And I turn on the TV and TBS comes up, Da Vinci Code. They were showing it on cable.
Like, oh yeah,
I was like, I'm going to sit, yes, I'm in, you know. And it was horrible.
I went and paid $10 for that ticket and fell asleep in the theater.
Oh, jeez.
And woke up and went, I don't care.
Yeah.
And didn't care that I'd fallen asleep.
Wow. Let's put it this way. I read the Da Vinci Code. I got no less than 4 vampire character ideas that I played for a long time out of that book. It was really good.
So here's mine.
I thought of one. Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go.
Okay. So, Elizabeth with Kate Blanchett. Yeah, I love historical adaptations, and I could say also Bram Stoker's Dracula because it's based off of Vlad Tepes. But I watched this movie and I was like, oh my gosh, she falls in love and this could really happen, and Mary Queen of Scots and all this stuff. And I went and I'm like, I am researching this to death. I found out that she could have never been in love with this guy because of her age. Or he wasn't around or something. And then Mary Queen of Scots should have never ever been in the picture.
Right.
Because of when Mary Queen of Scots ruled and Queen Elizabeth's age. And I was just like, I liked the movie for what it was. It was really good because I like Joseph Fiennes and Kate Blanchett. But yeah, I was really disappointed that it wasn't even it wasn't really her life
right.
at all.
And the reason why I laughed when you first said it was because way back in the day when that had just released to video, mm-hmm. my wife, I was like, hey, you want to pick something up on the way home? We'll watch it. She's like, yeah, get something lighthearted. And I looked around and the lighthearted stuff was out and I went, oh, Elizabeth, okay, sure, that'll be fun. No, it was not lighthearted at all.
So dark. So
yeah.
Horrible.
Mine falls along a long line of bad adaptations, some of them horrendous. All by the same author, although he does have at least one or two that are fantastic.
So is the author bad or the adaptation?
The adaptations are bad. I would say the author.
I know the author you're talking about.
13th Warrior. It's a terrible, terrible adaptation of a book called Eaters of the Dead.
But it was a good movie. I liked the movie.
That's fine. Do you know what the book was?
Nope.
Not that.
It was
not that.
Imagine if you've watched documentaries before, and they're a little dry and they're a little slow. Imagine if Michael Crichton wrote a documentary. Wrote it in a book. That would be Eaters of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's slow. It's methodical. There's a story, but it's all about the history and what's going on and the depth, in-depth look. And that's what you get throughout the entire book.
Really?
The movie. So in the book, he does, in fact, learn a language about 6 months in.
Yeah.
They did not do a good job of illustrating that because they were traveling for that amount of time. But
right.
they made it into one long montage.
Yeah.
So you couldn't tell it was day, night. It was just night.
It takes him
right.
6 months to get some rudimentary conversations
right.
out. Whereas he's like, I can speak your language now. I'm Arabic. That's what we do.
Yep.
What? No. That doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a really good book. It's like annotated. Like, it's a documentary style book. Like, you're reading a full on, like, history. Of stuff.
Right.
The movie, which I enjoy, is nothing like that. Nothing at all like that. I enjoy the movie, but the book to movie is just, there's a giant break there, and
right.
it's terrible. Michael Crichton has like one good movie, and that's Jurassic Park, as far as I'm concerned.
And it still has very little to do with the...
Yeah, after reading the book, I went, ooh, I see the problems.
Yeah.
But The Sphere is a horrendous movie.
I love
The Sphere. Great book. Amazing book.
I like the movie.
Congo is a great book. That movie's kind of rough.
Yeah.
That movie is a comedic relief, stupid, like, B-rated.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Timeline is my favorite book in the world. And, oh, my God.
That movie
that was,
is...
I almost got on
which
my list.
Timeline?
The movie Timeline.
No, but aren't there
Crichton.
Like two?
I have no
You're
idea.
You're thinking of a different
You're thinking of an alternate timeline.
It's like...
I thought that was
all this sciencey
show.
Stuff. Yeah. We don't need sciencey
okay.
stuff.
It took a second, but yes.
I was going for the bomb, but...
Nothing that Michael Crichton has ever written, except Jurassic Park, became a good movie
yeah.
that somewhat matched. At least Jurassic Park had some
it
notes.
Does.
Whereas 13th Warrior and Eaters of the Dead, two different movies, or two different names, because I would not have gone and seen a movie called Eaters of the Dead expecting a fun action-adventure romp, which is kind of what 13th Warrior is. There's some
yeah.
There's
yeah,
some
darker
parts,
aspects,
but it does turn into a advent...
But The Sphere,
yeah.
the book, is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I need to read that.
What,
oh, yeah.
Like, don't watch the movie.
I've
yeah.
seen the movie.
Oh, forget
well.
That you saw it, because that will ruin the book for you.
Yeah.
The Sphere is fantastic. Congo, I think, is a good book. So
yeah,
is Timeline,
good.
But... The movies are nothing like
no.
they're like false crap, just terrible crap.
Well, I think the problem is he puts so much research into his novels.
He does,
and the directors don't research anything at
yeah.
all, even the
yeah.
book they're adapting.
Well, and at least in Jurassic Park, the things that they kind of hand waved on and skipped and left out of the movie, I can understand why they did it, because that movie is well directed and has a good sweep. It has a good arc in it, and it tells a good story. We just went and saw this like a month ago.
I absolutely hated what they did with the Velociraptor Hunter.
That's fine. Yeah. I get that, but it tells a good story.
It does.
Nothing like the book, because there's this threat in the book that goes way beyond that, because there's like a time threat in the book. You're like, oh my God, if we don't hurry back, everything is lost. You don't get that movie.
Well, and you definitely don't get the sense of when they're off the island and everything's good and they're back in, you know, they're lounging poolside in Miami or wherever the heck they end up, and they start hearing the reports of lysine-rich crops have gone missing.
Yeah.
There have been stores and raids, and these fields have been chewed up. Nobody knows why. End of story. Have a nice night.
Yep.
And you're like,
what?
Wait, what?
Why wasn't that in the movie?
Because they put that in Lost World, which is nothing like the book.
No. I don't think they knew the sequel was coming after Jurassic Park, so they cut it, but it's true.
But you should do it like the Lego movie did and drop in two sentences at the end of the story that says, oh, look, they just opened the door for the trailer, or for the sequel.
So I think that's going to wrap us up for the good, the bad, and the ugly of adaptations. We enjoy movies, and there are plenty of good or decent adaptations out there. And then there's some movies like everything that's been put out by Marvel that are not actually adaptations, but they're more like a reworking. And those are perfectly fine.
Some of them. I didn't like the new one.
Yeah. You just have to find what works for you. And some of the stuff that we've talked about may or may not work for you. Your mileage may vary. I would suggest that you go see the things that we said were good. And then go read the books or check out the historical facts as needed. Some of the ones that Shirley mentioned earlier were Cool Runnings, based on a true story. Mm-hmm. What was the other one you said?
Cool Runnings. What was that other one? Yeah, I don't remember.
I would like to read about Tears of the Sun, because Tears of the Sun was...
Ghost in the Darkness.
Ghost in the Darkness. That is actually a very interesting story. We talked about that with the lions and such.
Right.
And pertinent to our current Masks of Nyarlathotep storyline.
Yeah.
So... you should definitely check those out. You can find us over on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/nerdsdomain and @nerdsdomain on Twitter. And then you can find our website at nerdsdom.com and go over to the website, sign up for our newsletter. And as always, you can find our shows at /loop. And we will talk to you guys real soon.
This has been a production of the Mega Nerds Network, the network where it's all.